This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most powerful kings on the planet at the time of his reign. He was rich, he was winning wars, and he was living for his own glory as king. As he was hoarding glory and refusing to acknowledge God, God sent him a humiliating judgment to humble this king. What can we learn from Nebuchadnezzar's fall to grace? Well, today, Pastor Sam will conclude a sermon titled, The Greatest Story Never Told. It comes from Daniel chapter 4. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Daniel is worried. He's alarmed. He's not alarmed for himself. He's alarmed for the king. You can see it. He says, oh, king, I wish what I'm about to tell you would be for your enemies. I wish what I was about to tell you were for those who hate you. I want you to think about the compassion that Daniel has for this king. This king has been responsible for every bit of the pain that has come into Daniel's life. This was the king that brutally ripped him away from his family. This was the king that destroyed his homeland. This is the king that brought thousands of his fellow countrymen into Babylon. This was the king that had just recently torn down the temple of God, toward which Daniel prayed three times a day. This was the king that had destroyed the city. And Daniel finally has news for the king. You know, if it had been one of us, we might have said, well, king, it's finally going to happen. You're finally going to pay for everything that you've done. But Daniel doesn't do that. He says, oh, king, the decree is about you. And so you could say it this way as you kind of listen to Daniel. He speaks plainly and he speaks boldly. And he speaks wisely and he speaks compassionately to this king that he's been serving for more than 30 years. And he says to them, here are the facts. King, here is what you need to know. You are the highest of all, and so the dream is about you. You can see this in verse 22. This tree bit that you read about or dreamed about, O king, it's you who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. You have become great. You have become strong. Your power is matchless. Your rule is boundless. Interesting, isn't it? When you read verse 22, your greatness has grown and reaches heaven, sort of brings back words from Genesis 11, doesn't it? In the original Babel, a group of people gathered together and they built a tower that would reach up into heaven. And here, centuries later, in that same city, is a kingdom whose power and whose might and whose reputation has become so great that it reaches to heaven. And Nebuchadnezzar, the dream is about you. You are quite content for God to rule in heaven, as long as he doesn't mess around in your kingdom and he lets you do whatever you want on earth. And Nebuchadnezzar, you have been doing whatever you want. You have worshipped whoever you wish. You named me after your God. Even after everything you've seen, even after everything you've heard, you still call me after the name of your God. And really, your God, The reason you named me that is because it is your God that you look to for protection. You name me after your God. You worship whoever you wish. You oppress whoever you wish. And in chapter 5, many years later, when Daniel, now 80 years of age, is looking at Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, he says to that grandson, I want you to remember how God humbled your grandfather. And before he was humbled, he killed whoever he wanted to kill. Nebuchadnezzar, you are deeply impressed with the God of heaven. You've even been impacted by him, but you want nothing to do with that God on earth. And in your kingdom, you do whatever you want. You worship whoever you wish. You oppress whoever you want, and you murder whoever you want. You do whatever you want. And you say, well, that's terrible. But let me ask you a question. What do you do in your little kingdom? You know, we come and we worship the God in heaven, don't we? We worship the immortal, invisible, only wise God. We know all of our theology. And when we leave this place, many of us go home and we do whatever we want. We're just like Nebuchadnezzar in the kingdom of me. And Daniel says to the king, King, because you do whatever you want in the kingdom that you think is yours, God has decreed a severe judgment against you. Verse 23, chop down the tree and destroy it. And God has done this because he has an important lesson to teach you that the Most High rules the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar, you don't rule the kingdom of men apart from God. God rules the kingdom of men, and he has appointed you to rule over this kingdom for this time. And you have done whatever you want. And you have decided that it is by your power and by your might and for your glory that you have done all of these things. And so God has an important lesson to teach you through this severe judgment. But God has extended a mercy to you. Look at verse 26. And as it was commanded, Daniel says to the king, to leave the stump of the roots of the tree. Let me tell you what that means, O king. Your kingdom will be confirmed for you. In other words, the kingdom that God is about to take from you will be given back to you from the time that you know something, that you learn something, from the time that you know heaven rules. And so, King, here are the facts. And here's your spiritual condition. Here's what God has decreed is about to happen to you. So let me end, Daniel says, with some counsel. And he does an unthinkable thing. He steps out of court protocol, and he takes his life into his hands, and he says to the king, O king, verse 27, let my counsel be acceptable to you. King, I've given you the interpretation I wish I hadn't had to give you. I wish what I had to say to you was for your enemies and for those that hate you, but it's for you. And so, King, I want you to listen and I want you to receive my counsel. Please let my counsel be acceptable to you. Have you ever had somebody come and say that to you? I mean, Daniel was not speaking as a priest. He wasn't speaking in his role as a prophet. He was a court administrator that had the ability to interpret dreams because God had given him wisdom. In other words, Daniel was a layman who knew his Bible. And he loved God. And he said to the king, King, I have something to say to you, and I want you to receive it. Have you ever had a fellow believer come into your life and say to you, I have something to say to you, and it's going to be hard, and I want you to receive it? Have you ever had a mentor sit down with you and say, hey, you know, there's something going on in your life. I see, and I want you to receive my counsel. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a service and all of a sudden the preacher starts talking and preaching, and all of a sudden it's like the arrow of God's word has a huge target on your heart, and you're sure that somebody told the pastor that this was going on in your life? And I want to ask you this morning, when somebody that God sends into your life says, let my counsel be acceptable to you, do you accept it? Daniel said to the king, break off your sins. And the evidence of that would be that you will practice righteousness and break off your iniquities. And the evidence of that would be that you show mercy to the oppressed, that perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. How often has God prompted us to speak that way to somebody, and it's terrifying, isn't it? And all of a sudden, you're right there in the middle, and you know that God wants you to speak this way to somebody in your life. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a wife or a husband. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker, and all of a sudden, there is a Daniel moment in your life. And you know that everything you enjoy in that relationship is going to be at risk by what you're about to say next. Daniel knew that everything he had, all the work that he had done for all of these years in the kingdom, was at risk when he said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "King, I have counsel for you. Let my counsel be acceptable. Break off your sins." Well, that brings us to verses 28 through 33 in the text. There is a merciful humiliation. 12 months pass. Nebuchadnezzar heard everything that Daniel said. He had been impacted and he had been impressed. And now he had been convicted. I mean, directly, this is the first time in the book that Daniel looks at the king and he says to the king, "King, God is about to judge you and you need to break off your sins. You need to renounce them and you need to repent." And 12 months later, that is but a memory in the king's mind. And you find out that he is, at the end of 12 months, walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, verse 29. And the king answered and said, "Is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" I mean, God had been so patient with Nebuchadnezzar. He was patient with Nebuchadnezzar as a young king in the second year of his reign. He was patient again with Nebuchadnezzar when he despised the dream and he built a statue in his middle years in the 20th year of his reign in chapter 3. And now he's been patient again at the end of his reign in the 35th year of his reign. And the king stood on the palace and he looked out upon everything and he said, "I built all of this. I did it for my glory by my hand. I am sovereign over all of this and I have a right to enjoy all of this." And as the words were still in the king's mouth, all of this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king's demise was swift and exact. Everything that God told him he was going to do, he did. Everything God described happened. In verses 31 through 32, God's judgment lasted for exactly the prescribed time, 7 seasons. It followed the exact predicted course. You're going to become like a beast. And it accomplished God's purpose. What was God's purpose? Well, look at verses 34 and 35. And you'll see the genuine salvation that God was up to. All of this was to humble Nebuchadnezzar, not to harm him, but to help him and to save him. Listen to how Nebuchadnezzar says at the end of the days, what days? "The days God prescribed for me, the 7 seasons, at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven." That's Old Testament language for repentance. He's not just talking about looking up and saying, "Oh, I think there's a God up there. Let me cry out to him." He's actually calling out in total repentance to the God Daniel has been talking to him about for all of these years. And he's finally acknowledging that he needs to repent. Now, let me ask you something. How did Nebuchadnezzar come to the place in 7 years of insanity where he lifted his eyes to heaven? And I want to suggest something to you. I want to suggest to you that God granted to this king repentance. You know, sometimes we think we can repent whenever we want. And some of us live that way. We hear a message and God speaks to us. We're driving in our car and all of a sudden there's something on the radio that gets our attention. And God says, I want you to repent. And we say to God, "I'll put it off and I'll do it sometime in the future." And I want to just suggest to you, brothers and sisters, and I want to speak to my own heart, don't ever presume on your own ability to repent. Paul said to Timothy, perhaps God will grant repentance to them. The fact that you sit here as a repentant, saved believer is because there came a point where God opened your eyes and he granted you repentance. Don't ever presume on God. I lifted my eyes to heaven. And then in verses 34 and 35, he reflects on what he has done. Listen to how he describes this. I lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. Why? For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Now here's my question to you. Where did Nebuchadnezzar get language like this? How did a pagan king get language like this? You say, what do you mean? This is exactly the wording of Psalm 145:13. This is exactly the wording of a psalm David wrote centuries before Nebuchadnezzar wrote them down in his own testimony. In Psalm 145:13, David said, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. You know where Nebuchadnezzar got his theology? He got his theology from the Bible. Now here's my question. Who do you think taught him the Bible? Who do you think discipled this king? Who do you think Nebuchadnezzar was listening to now that he had become a Christian? Because out of his mouth aren't just coming platitudes about God. Out of his mouth is coming a theological doxology that is grounded in the text of Scripture. Somebody had been teaching Nebuchadnezzar. And can I give you one guess as to who you think it might be? It might have been Daniel. Well, let's end by this gracious restoration that Nebuchadnezzar praises God for in verses 36 and 37. He says in verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. What an amazing thing. God didn't just save this king. He actually restored to him all that had been lost. And his response to this in verse 37 is this: I praise, I extol, I honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Nebuchadnezzar had spent a lifetime announcing to the kingdom he ruled over the praise of himself. He had exalted himself before the nation. He had glorified himself. And now he sends out a worldwide communication to all of those people. And he says to them, I want to tell you about the wonderful thing God did. I want to tell you that everything God does is right. I want you to know that every one of his ways, including what I just said to you, is just. And I want you to know something. He is able to take the proudest of men and humble them. And he has humbled me. That's the essence of a regenerate heart. I want you to know what happened to me. I want you to know that when I was in the pinnacle of my pride, maybe you were at the top of your game, maybe you were at the bottom of your game, but you were in the heart of your pride. And Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, I want you to know something. God knows how to humble proud people, and he humbled me. And he never humbles us with the intent to destroy us, although in chapter 5 we're going to find out that sometimes that happens. God always humbles us with the intent of restoring us. So what do we do with a story like this in our Bibles? Well, Let me just end by reminding us that I think Nebuchadnezzar would say to us, please, please remember that God rules over the kingdom of men and not just in heaven. God rules over the kingdom where you have been called to live redemptively. He gives those kingdoms to whom he wills. So instead of spending your time resisting rulers you don't like or expending your life strength trying to undermine them or replace them or grousing about them, pray for them, serve them, and live redemptively around them. Daniel had many reasons to undermine Nebuchadnezzar. He had many occasions to do so from the position he held. He could have had all kinds of anti-Nebuchadnezzar rallies. But you know what Daniel did? He lived redemptively in the presence of this king. And at the end of the day, this king became a worshiper of Daniel's God. How much time do you spend upset and frustrated over the political leaders in the kingdom where you have been placed that you don't like? How many imprecatory words come out of your mouth about those leaders? How much energy do you spend doing everything you can to undermine them? And I'm certainly not justifying anything they do. I'm simply saying if you really want to listen to Daniel, Daniel's advice to you is this: spend that energy living redemptively in that kingdom. Number three, God ultimately will set humble and lowly men over the kingdom that matters most. And you know this, don't you? One day, God will give the kingdom to his son, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Daniel will be there. Nebuchadnezzar will be there. Belshazzar, who we meet in chapter 5, will be there. And you and I will be there. And every king and every ruler that's ever lived on this planet will be there. And everyone will bow and confess. Some as willing subjects out of joyful, redeemed hearts, and some out of forced subjection to the sovereignty of King Jesus. And the group that you're in all depends on how you respond when God confronts you. And then finally, God is able to humble us even when we are deeply snared in pride. And he will often send somebody like Daniel into our life to do that. You know, Isaiah says that, reports or reminds us that God tells us that there are certain people to whom he will look. And those are people who have a humble and contrite heart and who tremble at his word. For 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar heard the word and didn't tremble, not once. How many times do we come to a message like this and we hear it and we take our notes and we close our Bible up and we're thankful for the time we had in the Word and we just go and we don't tremble at what we've heard? And maybe this morning the greatest thing that could ever happen to you is what needs to happen to me, and that is this. We need to get before a word like this and we need to come to the Lord and we need to say, the Lord, Lord, please humble me. Please humble me. Humble me not to destroy me, but humble me to restore me and give me standing in the kingdom that really matters. Lord, if you've got to take away the little kingdom that matters to me so that you can give me a part in the kingdom that will never end, God, I willingly embrace. Humble me.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.